Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you, young man, Brother Pirtle, young man, Brother Ashton. Amen. I love God's people. Praise God. Amen. We're glad you're here tonight. Amen. It feels good to be able to move my knee. Thankful for that. In spite of rain and all that. And a little injection there. And we're thankful for mobility. Thank you for praying for me. And we're grateful for the help of the Lord. We're going to the book of 1 John. 1 John. And just want to say tonight, Brother Corbett, thank you for being today. You've been very inspiring at our jail ministry. And we're so thankful what God is doing. Man, in lives of people. And it's amazing to see the help of the Lord. 1 John, the third chapter. We're going 1 John 3:16. We know that John, the Gospel of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have. God's still giving it. Thank the Lord. So we go to 1 John 3:16, and it says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our life for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeing his brother, seeth his brother have need, and shut up of his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? When you love God, it's going to be manifested in your life. And the test of belief in verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. Verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandment and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Love will cause you to do the things that are pleasing. Verse 23, and this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he has given us commandments. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Think about it today. Amen. When the Lord's inside of you, God's going to move in your life in every direction. I want that to be my part. How about you? The love of God in operation in my life. Amen. God, thank you for your church. Thank you for these precious people. Would you bless us tonight to hear and to receive? We give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you for standing in reference to the word of the Lord. Amen. We're so thankful tonight that you're here. Amen. We're so thankful what God done for you the other night. Amen. And what he's doing for your life. Make that determination. God, I'm yours. Praise God. He had a wonderful experience with God Sunday morning, I think it was. And I'm telling you what, how beautiful. I reflected on it this week with thanksgiving and praise. And we're thankful for it. Amen. It was a poem, and I read it today, I think twice, but I want to read it again tonight. But Ken Bo read this poem, and it was written by a 14-year-old boy. His name is Jason Lehman. And this is the poem. It was spring, but it was summer that I wanted. The warm days, the great outdoors. It was the summer, but it was fall I wanted. The colorful leaves and the cool, dry air. It was fall, but it was winter that I wanted. The beautiful snow and the joy of the holiday season. It was winter, but it was spring I wanted. The warmth and the blossoming nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted. The freedom and the respect. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted to be mature and sophisticated. I was middle age, but it was 20 I wanted. The youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle age I wanted. The presence of mind without limitations. My life was over, but I never got what I wanted. I want today what God wants in my life. Amen. I want to realize the value of right now. The value of right now. If you're the type that have procrastinated living for God, you're missing, you're wasting your life. If you're not living for Jesus, you're dying. But if Jesus is living inside of you, you have a greater life, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I have used this many times, but I want to use it again. If we look at the Holy Ghost as just being some kind of gift that God gives you, if the Lord, all of a sudden, you say, I want the Holy Ghost, and this was a gift, and I say, okay, you were born, and I'm going to give you this. If you look at the Holy Ghost as just being a gift that you get and not being God in your life, you're missing something. God don't want you to have his gift without having him. And I want the Lord God Almighty to dwell inside my soul. It makes it so much better when I let the King live inside of my life. And when the Lord lives inside of me, there's going to be a difference, because I become his palace. The Bible says you're not your own, but you belong to God. Your body is the palace or the temple of the Holy Ghost that you have inside you. Amen. Don't you want to be the palace for God? Don't you want the glory of God to dwell inside of you? Don't you want your heart to be the welcoming throne for the Master to live? Amen. You know, years ago, the motivation was looked at in many different manners. And people used to use different elements to motivate. For example, the carrot and the stick. Everybody used that. I mean, I even took a school, in a school that we used to attend, they talked about the carrot and the stick, that motivation, that big carrot. And let me explain to some of our children and younger people, or maybe somebody here that doesn't understand that philosophy. Years ago, the old ox or mule that was used, they didn't have cars or whatever. They said if you take a carrot and you tie a string on that carrot and you put it on a pole or stick and you hang it in front of that mule would be motivated to work because he's seen that carrot. He knew if he worked, he was going to get a carrot. And not only that, but there was a stick. When he did not move, that farmer would take a stick and pop him real good. And so it was a stick and a carrot style of motivation. Let me just talk to us today. Amen. In Christianity today, and even in the mix today, there's some people, their motivation is heaven or hell. Motivation is heaven and hell. The reason why they come to church is because of a carrot. They said, I'm going to go to heaven. And there's some people, the reason why they come to church is because of the stick. They don't want to go to hell. Well, folks, I don't want to go to hell. You don't want to go to hell, and you don't need to want to go to hell. But, folks, I got more to it than just wanting to go to heaven. Huh. Amen. There ought to be a motivating factor beyond the carrot and beyond the stick. There ought to be something inside of you that is greater than a motivation factor of just wanting to go to heaven. There ought to be something more than just being afraid of going to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. But I live for God because there's something on the inside of me that says, God, I love you. Amen. Love ought to be the greatest effective sense of motivation for you. It's a pure motivator. We read about it in 1 John. And it talked about the love of God, how perceive we the love of God in us, that he laid down his life. And tonight, your love, amen, there's something about that mutual affection. You see, love is not a one-way deal. Most people want it that way. They want God to do all the loving and you do all the living, the opposite way. But how wonderful to know tonight, amen, when you love God, there's a mutualness, an affection. You see, love is more than feeling. Love is a greater sense than feeling. Amen. Oh, love will flood you with feeling. But there's a greater sense than feeling that I got. It's more than feeling. It's a loyalty, a devotion that I have for God. Those of you young people that's not been married, let me talk to you tonight. When you get married, they say for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, sickness, to death do we part. You know, marriage is not a contract, it's a vow. And who's that vow to? Each other and to Almighty God. Now, you think about it. If you're going to get married, you make that vow. And that vow, here he is, this handsome dude. I mean, he has nice eyes and hair, complexion that you just, woo, he's such a handsome dude. But I want you to think about it this way. You said for better, for worse, for richer or poor, sickness and health. What happens if all of a sudden this guy develops a disease? And you made a vow that you're going to love him still. When, at a young age of 30, all of a sudden he start losing his teeth. He start having problems with the muscles in his hands and his feet. Pretty soon that strong-looking, nice-looking man, his hair has fallen out. He don't even have eyebrows, to where he has nothing there but a sickly person that now you have to change his diaper too. Think about the ladies that have children in diapers and their husband has a disease. That is a vow that you made. Hey, and a lot of people don't think about that. I'm glad that my God made a vow that said, I'm going to love you regardless. I have a God that has stood by his oath and stood by his vows that said, regardless, I am going to love you. But tonight in this place, I'm thankful that my God keeps his word. God didn't divorce me, run off on me. God didn't move somebody else in on me. Amen. But I am his and he is mine. And that banner over me is his love. Hallelujah. There's a place for me. There's something about the love of God. But I want to tell you the greater thing is whenever there's a mutual affection. When you love God. And you have a love for God. Love needs to be that motivating force in your life. When you don't love God, you start looking at different things and you start putting God on the scale, or you put God up on the deal where you start comparing God to other things, to where your desires is more important than his desires. You start two-timing God. You start doing other things that are displeasing to him. You start listening to things you shouldn't listen to, voices that you shouldn't listen to. Amen. And pretty soon, amen, you're swayed to other things. But when you love God, your ear is always to his cry. Your mind is always sensitive to his desires. You're going to love him and love what he loves, and you're going to despise what he despises. A mutualness. Love needs to be the driving force, the motivation. Not necessarily just heaven. Not necessarily the fear and the don't want to go to hell. Amen. Love ought to be the thing that causes you to move forward in your relationship. I am not satisfied with just receiving the Holy Ghost and being baptized in Jesus' name. I want to grow for him. I want to grow in him. I want to grow with him in the word. Amen. And in the spirit. I want God to be alive in my soul. I want to be his palace. So, as his palace and his agent, I want to keep my palace clean. And I want to just share with you your mind. You ever heard your mind is a terrible thing to waste? And when you start letting other things come in to cause your mind to be wasted, other things that want to take over your mind, things that want to take over your devotion, things that want to come in and buy in to your relationship with God. When you start two-timing God and moving things in your life in God's temple. Amen. God's body. Amen. Oh, friend, you're doing something. You're moving something in that don't belong there. You're coming against the mighty God. But hear me. Amen. Oh, love will keep a driving force. Drive the things out of your life that comes bidding for your attention. When you really love God, you're going to keep His commandments. You're going to keep sensitive and stay sensitive to His desires. Think about it. There's a sense of allegiance that even in the times where you can't feel God, you're still allegiant to God. It causes you to bow to God, a love. The Spirit of God is allowed inside of you to govern your life, to move your life. There's some unwritten laws that you allow to be written inside and applied in your life. Some laws that have some order inside of you that now you don't go with just the way of everybody else. You just don't act like everybody else in the mindset of the world, because you're in the world, but you're not of the world. That mindset today is a mindset that's totally different. The Bible speaks of us as being aliens and foreigners in this present world. The reason why, because, hey, we have a God that is saying, hey, you are a foreigner here and an alien here because you belong to a greater source. Yes. And there's some people don't get it. There's some people don't get it in life. They look at all the demands of living for God. They look at all the demands, the have-tos and the thou shall nots and the shalls and all this. And they get all bogged down in life. They haven't found the true love of God and the love for God. And it becomes a bunch of rules and regulations and a duty to them. Don't ever let your love become a duty. Don't ever let your desire be locked in by just mere duty. Amen. But oh, friend, if you can get to that place where love is your reason. I live for God because He loved me and He died on the cross, rose again, and He has never failed me. His grace has been there for me. His love has been so beautiful to me. Isn't it amazing? There's a spiritual component that's alive inside of us, a guidance system. Something that's inside of us. Our conscience is always conscious of God. I want to know how He feels. We're conscious of Him. We're conscious of His ways. I'm glad that God don't change moods. Have you been around somebody who had a lot of moods? And you had to wonder, where are they at? You mean, we're humans, and I want to tell you, we got a lot of moods sometimes. God is not moody. God is consistent. God is faithful. Amen. But I've been around people that had a lot of multitudes of moods. And just depends what kind of mood they're in was the type of their person. Have you ever seen somebody who was pouting and they're full of selfishness and selfish ambitions? And I want you to think about a child. That child, it's like it's got to be their way. And you've watched children, some of you. Amen. Brother Pearl has been a school teacher, and he will tell you there's some children when they're doing a certain game, and if they're not called up at first, they will pout, cross their arms. If not, they're not the winner, they get mad. If somebody else gets a prize, where's my prize at? And they start pouting. I'm thankful today that God's not moody, but my God has loving kindness. And how beautiful it is knowing that when the world tries to offer you all the prizes and accolades and trophies, all these different things that everybody thinks, you know, fame and wealth, ambitions, all these different things that the world says, whoa, this is what you got to have. I mean, if you're not it, then you're not it in this world. But friend, amen, this world's it is not what I'm after. I'm after being His and to please Him. Amen. When He is in control of everything, amen, oh friend, I got something that's going to happen in my life. God's going to take care of me. Because I am not my own. Scripture says I've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is God's. How beautiful. And when desire is greater than duty, it's beautiful. I don't serve God because it's a mere duty or a mere obligation. I don't have to have a carrot. I don't have to have a stick. Don't ever lose sight of that purpose in your life of whose you are and His purpose for you. If you think about it, there's some people who have to be coerced with authority. I look at inmates, and these inmates, so many of them, they're bought by certain things. Can you imagine? 2 weeks they said they hadn't had commissary. Let me explain what commissary is. When you go to jail, you're going to eat bologna. You're going to eat beans and rice. You're going to eat what they feed you. And sometimes they get a good breakfast we call a jailhouse McGriddle. They'll get 2 pieces of pancake with some bologna. And these inmates, today, what do you have for breakfast? Oh, it was horrible. They had grits. And they had for lunch today, they had like a Tupperware tray with a lid on it. And they come bringing it in. And in that Tupperware tray, one person said, I only got but one piece of bologna today. Two slices of bread. And they'll dye up some mustard and mayonnaise in the tray and a handful of chips. And they'll gripe about it. But Brother Corbett will tell you today, we had 27 men in one group. And I looked at them and I said, I'm going to tell you, I've been here for over 20 years coming to the jail. And there's some of you I have seen the last 20 years come in and out, in and out. And I tell them like this, you must like men. These are all men. To be here all the time. You must like living in tight quarters. And you must sure like somebody picking your clothes out. And you must like those trays of that wonderful jailhouse food. Because they keep ending up there. And they're fussing because they did not have commissary. This is commissary. They give them a little piece of paper. And they could buy with funds that is put on their books. Like, for example, Brother and Sister Perez, they were able to go to Andrew and put money on his books so that Andrew don't have to eat bologna. That Andrew could have ramen noodles, Oreos, chips, something to drink, and maybe some coffee. I want to tell somebody today how beautiful it is to know that God has great supplies beyond this world. Do you know that the bargaining tools a lot of times in the jail and the prison, just a pack of ramen noodles, what it would buy you as an inmate. If you got ramen noodles, they'll do all kind of things just to help you out. They'll protect you, other things they'll do just to have a bag of ramen noodles. We've got it good, saint. We've got it really good. But in the midst of our world, I'm thankful the Bible says God daily loads us with what? Benefits. We're benefited in our daily walk with God. But there's some people that are satisfied with just whatever life has to offer them. They're satisfied with just whatever slid their way in life, and they're content with it. Amen. But oh, friend, I'm glad today that I have something greater. I have something more in Jesus Christ, and it just don't stop there. It grows sweeter and greater every day. I just talked to somebody just recently that was in the Marine Corps, and they went to the Marines. And I asked him, well, how was it? He said, horrible. I said, why? He said, well, you know, we went to boot camp, and I thought it was going to be just great. And he said, the food was horrible. He said, they wouldn't let us eat. He said, it was horrible. And he said, then they gave us a little bag full of food that you add a little water to it. And he said, but sometimes they wouldn't let you put water in it. You just had to eat it dry. And he said, they were trying to work on our minds because they thought we wasn't men. And he said, it was horrible. I'm thankful today that God blesses us. Amen. His army's well taken care of. His church is taken care of. God blesses us. Now, you can live down here. You can live into the place that you do it just for the carrot. You just do it for the stick. You don't want to go to hell. Or you could get in love with Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I love you because of who you are. I love you even when The blessings are not there. I love you even when the time is hard. When I have to go through a valley, I still love you. Consequences, all these different things that I go through in life, God, I want my love to be superior beyond that. If I have to go down, even to the jail and the prison of life, I want my heart to remain loyal to God. If I had to be thrown in a lion's den, I want my faith and my trust and my love to remain in Jesus Christ. It's talking about an abiding commitment with God. If there's something committed in your life, a submission. You know, authority is not coerced. Somebody don't force you into living for God. Obedience must be voluntarily and love mandated. Love motivated. It must be something that inside of you, you just do because you love God. I want to tell you, flesh will get you in trouble. The devil's not your enemy totally. I mean, he's the instigator, but the flesh is worse of an enemy than anything. A carnal mind, an opposing mind to the Spirit of God. You know how beautiful it is whenever you recognize that and you crucify the flesh and you begin to put the flesh in its place and you start saying, God, thy will be done today. And you let God be God in your life. You bow your knee to God in reverence and love. God is dear to you. It's dear to you to please God and to live above this world and live beyond the things of this life. How beautiful. I want to tell you, you can live for God if you want to. You can live for God if you just put some action there and start seeking to love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your body, and your spirit. Love has a sense of possessing you. When I talk about possession, I've seen people demonic with demon possession, and I've seen a lot of people possessed by self. Self-possession. You ever seen that? Have you ever seen somebody who's really thought they were something? They thought they were hot stuff, but really, they were hot snot, wasn't they? And you've seen people walk around like, they have arrived. And if it start raining, they would drown, wouldn't they? Folks, we're not better than anybody. We're just bettered by the mind and the glory of God being in control. Amen. I watch people that have come and left and play around with God. I want to tell you, when love possesses you, how wonderful it is when the love of God's inside of you. You glorify God in your body and your spirit because it's His. There's something about your attitude. When your attitude is checked at the foot of the cross and you're able to bow with your attitude and say, God, amen, and deep inside of me, I want a revenge. I want this. Somebody looked at me wrong. How dare they look at me like that? But whenever you put yourself in the Master's hand, even your attitude, amen, that you're not going to bow to the world and you're not going to bow to attitudes. You're not going to bow to getting a wrong spirit. The Bible says, blessed are they that are not offended in me. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. When you love the law of God, you love the things of God, you live a life that the poison darts cannot penetrate your heart. Of bitterness and sourness to where people start looking around and they start nitpicking with pettiness. Everybody else, I can't believe that preacher didn't shake my hand. I can't believe he's again stepping on my toes. Amen. I can't believe he said that. Oh, how harsh he is. Amen. Friend, I'd rather be harsh on you now as a pastor to help you, to get you back in line, to get you to think about your direction and to think about the consequences and to think about the glory of God in your life. Hey, friend, there's something more than a carrot. There's something more than a stick. It's a love of God. Don't let your love die out. Be bound to Him. Let there be a passion that's more than just obligation. You know, holiness is nothing less than total surrender to God in love. You want to know what holiness is? Holiness is not how you dress. Holiness is how you let God's love live in your life. Because when you let God's love inside of you, holiness starts from the inside. And it works on the outside. How beautiful that is. Amen. There's a lot of people think holiness is a dress code. No. Holiness is inside code that goes far beyond the outside. It emanates. Amen. Love restrains sometimes. Love begins to sometimes hold you back. I'm thankful that love will say no to some things. If you never learn how to say no in your life, you're going to be ran over by people. You're going to be taken advantage by people. Amen. Love will possess you. Love will harness you. Love will restrain you. Love will direct your life. Love will cause you to have a backbone. Love will cause you to look at something and say, no, I'm not going there. I'm not listening to that. I'm not giving in. I'm not letting you do that. I'm not letting that spirit in my life because I belong to God. Think with me tonight. Distinct from the finite passions, such as lust, desires, ambitions, rivalry, competition, envy, covetousness, and all the likes. There's a great thing called that infinite love that doesn't end. It's that mutual love that flows and fulfills. The love of the world, after a while, it don't fulfill you. It's kind of like a person that, man, they drink a beer. I said, whoa, man, that feels good. Man, I like the taste of it. I like the feel of it. And the next time they drink, they got to drink two of them. Pretty soon they're drinking a six-pack. Next time a 12-pack, 24-pack. And before you know it, they're packed. And they never could find that fulfillment. Same thing with drug users or porno. Think with me. Somebody's addicted to pornography. I mean, always in their mind, that they're looking for something to intrigue them. It's called unnatural affections. That you want something to affect you and give you that pleasure. Nothing will give you pleasure like the divine presence of God when you worship Him and please Him. How beautiful it is tonight when you learn to say yes to God. Hallelujah. How long has it been since you just let God just flood your soul, even with His goodness and mercy? Have you thought about God today? Has God been on your heart and your mind? Have you been conscious of Him? My Lord, thank you for this day, God. Have you walked with God? You know, I want to repeat something today. There's a lot of people who don't know how to walk with God anymore. They're around people that walk with God, but then maybe they walk with people that walk with God, but they don't walk with God. I just don't want to be around people that walk with God. I want to walk with God too. I want to have a personal relationship with Him. The Bible says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man have not the love of the Father, if any man love the world, the Scripture says, the love of the Father is not in him. I want you to think about what love would do. When you really love somebody, you're going to get close to them. When you really love somebody, you can't wait to see their face. You love their attention. You love their touch. You love just being around them. You love to hear their voice. You love just being part of their conversation. You love all the different things around with them. Sister C is at that place where when it's her birthday or something special, she didn't want me to give her a gift. She's at that place. We got a lot of junk. She said that the last thing we need is another dust collector. And she says, don't give me flowers because they'll sit on the table and they'll look pretty for about 3 or 4 or 5 days. And guess what? They start drooping and wilting. She just made a statement. She said, if you're going to give me roses, give me something I can plant in the yard that I can water and watch grow. But she would rather have something that we experience together as husband and wife. She would rather there be a mutualness than for me just to take her out to eat. We were even past that place. A date for us is no longer eating. We eat out all the time because of have to. So eating out is not a date anymore. Eating, you know, going out with her means I'm giving her some affection and attention. And there's an undivided mutual relationship between us. I want that with Jesus. How about you? When's the last time you had a date with Jesus Christ? Well, you just got by yourself and you put away all the distractions. You're not constantly doing this. We were somewhere the other day, and I kid you not, I bumped Sister C, and I said, look at all these people. Was it you that I told? We were sitting somewhere, and everybody in the restaurant had a phone, and they were looking at it. People sitting across from people, families sitting across from each other, and their nose was to the blue screen. This old blue-eyed devil. I didn't want it to get between me and my God, that I have to have it all the time around me. But I want some sacred time with just me and Jesus. I want some time that I walk and I talk with Him. Just He and I. Even that when I come to worship God's house, I don't want something to steal that moment of His presence that He wants to love and minister. Because this is so beautiful about God. When God's ministering through me and to me, amen, somebody else could get something from God too. I want to be a conduit. I don't want to be a blockade. I don't want to be a distracted. I want the pure love of God to flow through me. Amen. When I worship. You know, when you really love God, things are going to take on His ways. You're going to take on His way. There's going to be a transformation. No longer are we conformed. But the scripture says we become new creatures. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things become new. In Jesus Christ, it's an ever-newing process, ever-newing. How many's been in church at least 50 years? Let me see your hand. 50 years. 50 years. Yeah. Abigail's been in church at 50 years. Ever-newing. For the pearl, what's beautiful is the Holy Ghost is ever-newing. In heaven, you think about the carrot of heaven. Today, I had some people ask me. They pulled me. In fact, it was some workers at the jail that pulled me aside. And they had an argument between them about the things of God, the things of heaven. And we just talked about that, Brother Carpet, right before they pulled me in. And one of the things I told them, you know, I go to funerals, and these people said, well, he's over there on the other side playing golf. Or she's at Hobby Lobby in heaven. How foolish. There's no Hobby Lobby in heaven. There's no sacred golf course in heaven. There's a song that says, it's Jesus that I want to see. More than all the gold, more than all the streets of gold and the walls of jasper, more than the gates of pearl, it's Jesus that I want to see. Hallelujah. The one that gave everything. Amen. He is at no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more trouble. No more things of this world that we have to deal with. Amen. When we get there. But more than that. Amen. It's Jesus that I want to see. The lover of my soul. Amen. Let's stand and give the Lord a hand of praise right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for that motivation that God has given. Come on. Would you give the Lord that clap for what He's done? Come on. Can you clap for Him and applaud Him? Can you applaud the love of your soul? Can you give Him praise, the love of your soul? That song, Sister Crossway, it says, all the gold you may put there won't make it heaven for me, cause it's Jesus that I want to see. You know, Jesus that I want to see. Oh, it's Jesus that I want to see. All the gold you can
I'm sure it will be lovely. Such sights we'll behold. Walls made of jasper and a street of transparent gold. Oh, but it's not a wish for a mansion that draws me to that place, but a strong, strong desire to see Jesus' face.
Start singing about him. Oh, it's Jesus that I want to see. Jesus that I want to see. All the glory. Your hands, would you love him? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Love you, Jesus. Come on, you don't have to wait to get there. He's here tonight. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you. Go ahead and love the Lord. You need something from heaven tonight. Come on, love him. He's here. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Lord, baptize my desire, Lord, with freshness. New beginnings tonight, Lord. I love you and I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Have you ever woke up in the middle of the night, early morning, you rolled over, looked at the clock, and it's 3 a.m, and you're going, why not I sleep? Why can't I sleep? Sometimes the Lord wakes us up just for us, where he could talk to us. We're so busy all through the day. And the Lord said, you know, I've been needing to talk to you. And he wakes you up. You ought to try it. When you wake up, just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And see what happens. When you're in your car, instead of turning the radio on, have a little talk with Jesus. You get in the shower. Even there. It's a great time to talk with Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. God bless you today. We love every one of you. Let's go to heaven now. You're dismissed if you shake about 5 people's hand. And tell them, I want to love God more.